Would you say a great percent of your songs are Baha'i motivated?
Yes, a great percent of them.
How long is this current road tour?
I'm sorry?
How long is this current road tour?
This one here will be about 2 weeks.
And when does your next one start?
Well, the next one won't start until about 2 weeks after we finish this one. And we're recording an album and everything, so we're going to go back and finish this.
When will that album be out?
I hope in March.
March is
what we're trying to shoot for now.
What will be the name of it,
We haven't got a title for it yet. If you think of anything, let us know.
Will you keep holding the high fireside, even though your popularity will increase?
This is what we'd hope to do. I can see today when they'll come to Madison Square Garden to hear about the faith instead of the music. This is the thing. It's like the music uplifts the heart and prepares it to receive the knowledge of hope. In fact, he even says in the place, he says, teach your children music. Teach them to... He speaks very, in other words, through the science and through the arts, is how mankind is uplifted.
How come you write most of the songs and Jimmy just dashes us?
Well, I've been writing longer than he has. I wrote for about 9 years, and actually we do share the writer's rights, and we've worked on some things lyrically and musically. It all depends who comes up with the idea.
Mm-hmm. Who do you admire as far as musicians?
As musicians? I like John McLaughlin, John Coltrane. I like the things that he did. James Taylor, Carole King, Group America, they have some good recordings. Mm-hmm. Let's see, like the Moody Blues, Jethro Tull, Joni Mitchell is my very favorite though.
Is there anything between the two brothers here? I mean, your group is starting to happen big on Warner's and Dan's just starting to happen. Is there any feeling between the two of you?
Well, yeah, we're very excited, and we've tried to help each other in the recordings and in criticism as far as songwriting and everything is concerned. England, Dan, and John Ford Coley, their albums and things, and a single called Simone that they had out, was number one in Japan. And so theirs kind of started there, and in Europe also, where we're not quite as popular. But we try to share the knowledge, of the tours and everything, and the places, the best places to play, and where, that's... the best sound companies and these things that we've helped to, it's helped us.
How old are you now?
I'm 30 now.
You're 30. Mm-hmm. Do you plan to be doing the same gig 10 years from now, or do you plan?
Well, I'll probably be in music unless, or films or something like that. I'm interested in plays. I'm trying to write one now, which is something new. I've never done it before, but Dash and I like to go into all kinds of things and just kind of hunt around and see what we can find.
Would you like to take a year off and spend with your family and your new babies?
Well, right now I don't think that it would be possible. There's just not time for that type of thing. I see them, like a month at a time, and mm-hmm. I think it's very healthy to be gone for a week or so, 2 weeks. It makes it better.
Like being on the road so much, though.
Well, actually, we don't travel that much. Sometimes we stay out maybe 2 weeks, and then we'll go back into town for two or three, and then back out again. And there's so many things that have happened, good for us, that we don't get bored with what we're doing. Now, I don't know, there might be a time when we'll get tired of playing the same instruments and maybe go to other instruments to experiment with mm-hmm. and things, but I love the mandolin myself. I love the way he plays it, and he learned to play it so quick, within 3 or 4 weeks he was playing it.
When did he first start playing it?
Well, he started almost 4 years ago now, about 3.5 years, I guess, something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's been close to a year now since you had you were at John Carroll. Now you had to hit Summer Breeze. Has anything changed?
The audiences have changed.
The audience more receptive, or
they're more receptive, and they're also there's more young people, younger, 13, 14 years old, mm-hmm. more older people, maybe 70, 80 years old. We just went the other night. She had to be at least 80. Stood mm-hmm. up and requested the Seven Valleys. everybody just cracked up. But it's good. I think it's a healthy thing.
Has anything happened within the organization?
Well, I think it's given us a little more confidence in the music. Naturally, to have something that's accepted, it makes us feel better in the eyes of the record company because it costs quite a bit to record. So we were happy for that.
Hummingbird, do you think it's going to happen just as big as?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think it will because of the fact that Summer Breeze, the single and the album, were both the same title and both of them were sold at the same time. I think Hummingbird will probably sell as a single. But the people that bought the album have already got Hummingbird on the album.
Was that your choice as far as the second single from the album?
Yes, that was obviously the only two that we felt. Now, they just told us yesterday they're playing Euphrates and right. on all the AM stations in Los Angeles. That's the craziest thing I ever heard of.
We say that...
all of a sudden we got groups calling up wanting to do the songs and, all
right,
all at once.
Band's guards. Do you suppose that other cuts from the album will be taken for?
Well, I don't know whether, I don't really know much about single material or distinguishing it. All I know, what we try to do when we pick a single release is to pick something that that has a message that everyone can understand, something that's that we feel is beautiful, or that, you know, that feels good, something we're proud of, and just release it.
Is Louis Sheldon on your current road trip with you?
No, we wish he was.
What is he? She produces you and gives you direction and inspiration.
Who, Marcia?
No,
Louis. Yeah, he's an excellent guitar player, and his knowledge of music, we used to play in a group with him a long time ago, and he knows our music really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Baha'i, and he knows what we're trying to say in the music. And, so it's a good good working thing.
Are you staying in Cleveland?
We'll go to Springfield tomorrow.
Springfield, Massachusetts.
No, Springfield, Ohio.
Ohio.
Well, I thank you very much, and
thank
we're
you.
Trying to do a fan club for you, and we would like to get a line on the next album stating there is a fan club.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I know how the fan clubs used to be a long time ago when rock music first started. What do they do now? Now that,
well,
everybody doesn't like the hype,
they,
and, they
the
like
oddity.
This, and they don't like
the
oddity.
I don't know how it first came on you when I told you of it, but the oddity of it seems to grab people. We have it on almost every FM station. We have it in every trade magazine, Billboard, Cashbox.
What made you decide to do it, though?
She started the whole thing, and
I also think people in general are trying to get more into artists' heads rather than,
yeah,
you know, the groupie
so.
Type
right.
thing. They want
right.
to see what artists really believe in. And,
let me ask you a question. Is there anything that you could suggest to us that would help them be able to do that better?
As far as fan clubs go? Or
yeah,
as far as getting into you
what,
more?
Yeah.
What you're doing now, the most important question I had is if... you know, if a year from now you're playing the Forum or Madison Square Garden or something, and there is a large group of, you know, for a fireside, will you do it? Or if you have a big concert tour, 38 in a row or something, will you stay after and do it?
If the city will let us do it, we will.
You will. I mean, it's still within you. It's your desire to do it.
Well, this is the purpose of the whole thing.
I asked Marcia, I said, hey, what happens if 2,100 people stay here tonight?
Yeah.
She said, fine.
Yeah.
I said, great. They're up to 2,100 people. They're up to 2,100 people as easy as they will to one.
The thing is that we want to be able to share with them at least the fact that Baha'u'llah has brought something, that there is an answer, you know, for world unity if they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that eventually we know that we will have it.
Was your music any different before you started the Baha'i religion?
Very different.
Very different.
Yeah, the lyrics went, I love you and you love me and we're together and when I come back I'm going to break your jaw. And, you know, things like that.
I mean, but, you know, do you sit down with the Baha'i scriptures and take from them parts and put it to music? And
well, no. I've read several things that really impressed me that I took out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I read the books all the time because some things you can't understand the first time you read it. You know, it takes a while. And I've almost developed a photographic memory by reading the Baha'i books. It's just really strange. I learned that I would be reading and I would underline a certain thing. And then somebody would ask me a question at the fireside maybe 8 months later and it would come back to me. So it's developed my whole... As a matter of fact, I'm not an intellectual person at all. I've never been. My whole family is not intellectual. They're very simple people. And what it did for me is that, see, I went to the eighth grade in school. And it allowed me for the first time to use my mind in a different way. I had never been able to do that. So I couldn't appreciate certain things that maybe other people that had been educated as far as arts and things could understand. It opened up a whole...
Well, I can't thank you enough, and I hope we get the opportunity to do it again with you. But like I say, I was telling Marcia, it is so hard to get, at least to Marcia, or to get any information about publicity-wise.
Well, we've been changing, we're in the process of changing our offices. She's moving it from Hollywood to San Fernando, and we've got a whole new load through. This is her first night with us, and we've been traveling and recording everything. So it's been, you know, if you couldn't get in touch with us, it's not something that was done on purpose.
Right. Well, we'll send you a copy of the newsletter with part of this interview in it. I can't thank you enough for being with you and being able to talk to you.
We enjoyed it.
And you were great, and we're looking forward to your next tour here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I hope we can.
Will you be in Cleveland? Is Belkin picking you up? Are you coming into
Cleveland?
Nothing planned in Cleveland now.
No, I just have.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have too much. We've left it pretty open so that we can finish our recording and stuff now.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live?
In California?
Yeah, we live in L.A.
In L.A.? And you have one kid now?
Yeah, baby boy.
What's his name?
Joshua Caduce.
And that's derived from the Baha'is?
Well, Joshua is an old biblical name.
Jimmy?
Caduce is a Persian name.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
I was born December the 3rd, about 5:30 in the morning.
Well, I think that about wraps it up. Thank you very much.
I got a picture. I'm going to see you.
Really?
Kid got all the looks in the family.
Is your wife a musician, or how did you meet her?
Well, I met her at Marsha's house.
Really?
Her manager's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all alone.
The other two were married at the time. Lou was married and Dash was married.
Dash, as a matter of fact, no, Dash wasn't married. I got engaged on the day or the evening that he got married. This is his first bath. This is my wife.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard so many great things about you from my brother Ted Cohen in Cincinnati.
Oh, is this your brother?
Yeah, it's my brother Ted. And he says, like, you're Cincinnati's group, more or less. But, yep.
Okay.
That's Ted. Okay, and nice to meet you.
Yeah, how are
you? And everything he's told me has been the truth. Or...
No, it's all lies.
It's all lies?
No, well, Ted Cohen's a good friend of ours. He's a pretty jolly fellow.
Yes.
I had to talk to him on the phone today, I think.
Really? Yeah, like more or less he gave us the inspiration to do this and to promote you people. He does it in a different way, and we're doing it in this way.
He's a good promoter for us, I'll tell you.
Yeah. What is the best way to get in contact with you when you do come into town? Through you, through your manager, Rich, or through Marsha, or what?
Oh, when we come into town. Gee, I don't know, because we stay in different places. Warner Brothers would probably be the best
Warner
way,
because
they
like
usually
George
know where their
or Ted or whatever.
Artists are. Yeah.
That's good. You going down to Cincinnati?
Or you could get hold of the road manager. Yeah, we're going to Cincinnati.
Are
in,
you really?
3 days.
3 days?
Yeah.
So you'll see Ted down
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah, we're doing two or three concerts with him on this tour.
What happened to Jim Root and Ron Ashton?
They're still with us in the records. They're in L.A., except Jim Root's working with Cheech and Chong right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're still old friends and running around together, but they needed somebody, and Jim was sick for a while,
mm-hmm.
so he couldn't go out with us. And in the meantime, Cheech and Chong picked him up, so...
Could you give us an autograph on this album?
Yeah.
Just for a second, and then... I guess it's a 12-month, right? Okay. Press one. To Gary.
To Gary.
Happy trail. Dash cross.
So Roger's
got
to go
to Tony, because... Oh, yes.
I certainly would not.
You certainly would not. Want a copy?
Yeah.
To Tony. Looking for a mandolin, are you?
Hey, can you hold it?
Sure.
Yes. 1 minute, I'll be right back.
Well, we never thought this would happen, did you?
No, we don't need it. You don't need that girl's house, or you don't do that?
Well, did you enjoy it?
Really did.
You
are
really good.
Fantastic.
Very much.
Hope your album starts happening.
Well, thank you.
Really.
We've got a third one that we've just finished cutting.
Who's producing it?
Louis Shelton produced all three of us.
All three of them?
Yes, he even stole our producer.
Yeah. Would you mind inking the album for us?
Oh?
Would you mind inking the album for us?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
It looked kind of weird, the England band on our seal and cross.
Why not? It's the seals, isn't it? I mean, it's all in the family. Great. Fantastic.
Oh,
what John did now?
I'm hoping you won't tell any jokes, I'll tell you. Open the door on you and get in the thing.
Oh.
That's
my cough drops. That's my salvation on the road.
One, two, right here. That's Tony. One, two. That's Tony. Did you guys do any interviews while you were in town? No? Just your name, that's it. Your thumbprint. If you could do that even, you know, just touch it. let the FBI, you know, search it for us. I think you did it all. I can't thank you enough. Thank you. It was an Attica Ted. I wish I were here, all right?
Okay. Bye-bye.